I'm sorry, Matthew 26. That was a test. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read from verse 1, and we'll go down until we hit verse 16. And it came about that when Jesus had finished all these words, he says to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be delivered up for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas. They plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, 'Not during the festival, lest a riot occur among the people.' Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it upon his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, 'Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price, and the money given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume upon my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her.' Then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you?' And they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on he began looking for a good opportunity to betray him." Amen. Okay. So this is now 2 days before the Passover. And it starts with the Sanhedrin that plot to kill Jesus. And then it moves to Jesus in Bethany and a woman, I mean, it was Mary. Mary came and anoints Jesus for burial. And then Judas, after that, most likely goes back to the temple, you know, and begins to inquire about what the cost would be to betray Jesus. And so if you're taking notes, I'll give you the references in the Gospels. It's Matthew 26 that we just read, 1 through 16. In Mark, it would be chapter 14 from 1 through 11. Luke writes about the Sanhedrin and Judas, but doesn't write about Mary, because Luke actually does that in another passage. And so that's Luke 22, 1 to 2, and then 3 to 6. And then John writes about Mary, but only Mary, in 12, 2 to 8. And so from the morning, the Sanhedrin plot, and it's probably in the palace of the high priest. Jesus is in Bethany. Remember, he taught the whole day, yesterday from morning to night. And so he ended up in Bethany, so he's resting. And then in the evening that happens, and then Judas betrays him in the temple. And so he kind of gave an overview of this day. Now, what a stark contrast, if you look, right, from Tuesday, where Jesus is busy, right? It's recorded, the longest recorded day in Jesus' life was on Tuesday, and then we get to Wednesday, and Jesus does absolutely nothing. You know, in fact, you know, he really actually does nothing. He's only in the passage, and someone does something to him, right? You know, so Mary anoints him. He actually doesn't, you know, he hardly has any role at all in this particular day, because this was the day of solitude. You know, this was the day that he was probably doing the most important thing that he could do, which is spend time with God. You know, he knows, right? He's turned his face towards Jerusalem, right? He knows what he's about to face. He shares all of his words, you know, that he needs to share, you know, with his with the people, and he teaches and does all these things. And then what does he do the next day? He spends time with the Father. You know, and I think this is a really, really good lesson and message for all of us, right? That in the midst of busyness, in the midst of, you know, so much stuff going on in our life, you know, if you want to be effective, right, you need to actually scale back. You know, if you want to be productive, right, you need to scale back. You know, he quieted himself and he went before the Father, and he heard, you know, the whispers of the Father, you know, upon his life. I mean, can you imagine, you know, one, being exhausted, and yes, it's probably good to rest, right? I mean, it's quite natural in that way. But I would tend to see Jesus, you know, in this picture of, you know, he's busy, he's doing stuff, you know, he's alive, you know, he's, you know, and then evening comes and he's got to think about the cross again, you know, and my personal sense is he needed to go to the Father just to, you know, kind of get that encouragement from him. And so, you know, almost Father saying, listen, son, you're still on the mission. You know, you're still moving forward. So let's stay on task, right? Let's gonna keep going. You know, the Father is saying, you know, I know it's gonna be difficult for you, right? And it will be difficult, but, you know, just keep going after this thing. You know, I'm asking you to endure. And Father says, I'll be with you during this time. Now, others would say, well, you have a week to live, you know. What a waste to not do anything. You know, I mean, what a complete waste. Just to rest or, you know, or whatever it may be, you know, but most likely it was the day that probably gave Jesus strength to do what he was supposed to do, you know, just to be quiet, just to come before the Father. And we, you know, and especially in Hong Kong, we live in a culture, you know, that doesn't value solitude anymore. You know, it doesn't really, you know, value being alone. You know, we think being alone is really bad. You know, I mean, I'm the same way, right? You know, I go to a restaurant, you know, I'm eating with someone and someone's eating by themselves. What's the first thing you think about? Oh, what a loser. You know, this is no one, you know, but that's not, it's because it's that's not the truth of the matter, but we're so ingrained in our thinking, you know, like even like for the longest time, I couldn't go to a movie by myself. You know, I have now, right, because my wife, she's too busy, you know, and stuff. But I would just never do that because there's these ideas that when you do things alone, you know, there's a stigma, right, that you have no friends, you know, that you're not popular, you're not, you know, and all these things. But it's not true, right? I mean, it's good to do things alone, right? But in our culture, being alone, you know, is stigmatized as being something very negative. You know, like, you know, even you know, people that are single, you know, in advanced years of age, you know, we just think, well, what's wrong with this person? This person must have some kind of personality disorder or something. You know, why didn't this person get married? You know, but then, you know, meeting people that, you know, have been, you know, or the gift of celibacy, and you realize, wow, it's pretty good to be single in advanced age. You know, a lot more you can do for the kingdom, you know, definitely. But we have these attitudes. We go from meeting to meeting, from deadline to deadline, activity to activity. And too often times we fail to quiet ourselves to hear from God, you know, and what he really wants from us, right? You know, I know personally for me, you know, it's the last few months have been a pretty frustrating, you know, for me personally. Because now we have so many meetings, you know. I mean, it's just amazing to me, right? And for a person, I don't know, I shared this on Sundays, that don't like meetings, right? We just have so many meetings, you know, and I'm forgetting times, and you know, all these things are happening all around me, and a lot of that, really, more than anything else, is a reflection that I'm not spending as much time with God as I should be. You know, just too busy, you know, running off to conferences and doing these things. And, you know, and I can see how, you know, I'm being pulled in different directions. And because, you know, and that's okay if I'm able to spend time with God adequately. You know what I mean? If that's not in the mix, then all this stuff that's happening is just going to fry my brain. You know, and it seems like it's been happening now, you know, in some ways. But we need to go back to that quiet place, you know, that place of solitude. And when you're having solitude with God, you're never alone, right? You know, in fact, there's four of you guys hanging out, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and yourself, right? You know, and so there's something about that. You know, I wonder if sometimes if we can just stop, you know, and say, God, do you have a message for me? You know, to stop the activities, to stop the busyness, you know, and say, God, is there something you want to say to me? Is there something that you want to ask me about? Is there something that you want to change in my life? And just be able to stop, to allow the voice, right, to interrupt our lives, you know, a certain way. You know, some people would call it a waste, right? You know, when I usually take the family overseas or back to LA or wherever we go, I personally do really well with jet lag. You know, I mean, half a day and I'm fine. You know, I do pretty good. But obviously, my kids, a totally different situation. You know, and they're like, this past time we were there, it took, I mean, probably 3 days when we landed in LA, we didn't do anything because their sleep schedule was so messed up, you know. And I just thought, man, this is such a waste. You know, this is, I'm dying, you know, because I can't really go anywhere. You know, I got to take care of the kids and my wife, and, you know, and she's very much like my kids, you know. Her sleep schedule is totally interrupted. They have a hard time with the jet lag. And I just think, what a waste it is. But then, you don't realize if they don't get that rest, then the whatever time that we have, right, will be fruitless, you know, in that way. And so it makes me rethink, you know, a lot of these things, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, we have a certain amount of days, we got to go, you know, I got a lot of things to do, a lot of people to meet, you know, and whatnot. And I'm the byproduct of that busyness. And some people would call it a waste, but it's not a waste to slow down. That's why God said that he worked for 6 days and then he stopped. And he had Sabbath. He had rest. Now, some of you guys don't ever get a rest, you know. And so, you know, the word that we've used in our vocabulary is the word recreation, right? But the word, the original meaning of the word comes from Genesis, and it's to recreate. And that's how we can have recreation, right? It's not just a recreational league or a sport or a hobby. That's not the whole point of the word and why the word came to be was that it allowed us to recreate. God worked for 6 days and he rested. He recreated on the seventh day to when he came out to the eighth day, he could create again. You know, and so it's important for us to have recreation, to be able to recreate ourselves. You know, so that we can be effective in what we do, you know, and kind of a side note on this whole idea of rest, you know, of waste, you know, this woman comes, you know, and pours a year's worth of perfume, right? This is, you know, 360, it's a year's worth of someone's life, basically, and she pours it out on, you know, on Jesus. And the disciples said, this is a waste. And Jesus says, listen, you leave this woman alone. You know, she's done a good thing for me. In other words, she's the only one that recognizes what's happening right now, you know, and what's going to happen 2 days later. She's preparing me for burial. And in fact, you better leave her alone because whenever this gospel is preached, they're going to talk about what this woman did. You know, and it's true. 2,000 years later on, here we are in Hong Kong, right? You know, and we're talking about what this woman did. I mean, this is, you know, prophecy coming to life and these things. And the whole thing that's coming to mind, and this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, right? And I think what we really want to challenge people, she poured out this perfume, which was a year's wages, you know? Can you give up a year of your life to serve the Lord on the mission field? That's my question. That's what this woman did, right? Can you give up a year of your life, a year's wages in essence, right? You know, and to do something significant. I'm not saying that your work is not significant, you know, I'm not saying that at all, you know, but can you do something? And, you know, trust me, you talk to your parents about it and other people, they think, well, you crazy, man? That's a waste, you know, and I always think, hey, if the Mormons can do it for 2 years, surely the Church of God can do it for 1 year. You know, as old Walter Martin, you know, used to say, you know, are we willing to do for the truth what the cults do for a lie? Right? You know, and that, I mean, that's a challenge, right? I feel like there's something very prophetic in that, you know, and I think, you know, in the course of years, you know, as a church that's going to come, I think many of you will leave your professions for a year. You know, go serve in Africa or somewhere in Asia or go plant a church somewhere with a team, you know, or work at church for a year, you know, just a year, a year's wages, right? Sacrifice to the Lord, you know, and what seems like a waste to the world you know, Jesus looks and read his words, says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her." You know, to do something worthy, you know, in that way. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Let's just meditate on that, of just being quiet and at rest. Just listening to that GPS in the sky. That simple voice. As Samantha leads us in a song of worship, I want to challenge you just to quiet yourself and just rest. Be still and know that He is God.
Thank you.
just responding to the message and what Jesus did today, can I invite you to just spend this time in solitude, just in quiet. Kenny, if we have anything that's but no lyrics, just music. And let's just be at peace and be still before God. And just respond to the overture of the Spirit of God in our lives. And just be quiet. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't read anything. Don't pray anything. You know, for the next 30 minutes or so, right, at least, let's just be still. I know we'll have a great temptation to want to do something. Let's fight that temptation. And let's just be quiet. And I'll pray for us. And then for the next time, of course, if you want to do something, you can, you know. But I really want to encourage you just to be quiet and receive that strength that Jesus did. Right after a busy day, he was just quiet. You know, let's reflect upon that verse, right? Be still and know that I'm God. The word actually directly translated is cease striving. Give up, in other words. Relax. And so, Lord, I pray for this congregation this morning, God, and myself as well, Lord. God, that just be still. That we would quiet our hearts. Lord, I know that our minds will be going a million different places, Lord. But Lord, I pray, God, for a supernatural ability right now to center ourselves in you. Lord, we want to hear your words only, God, not our thoughts. We want your thoughts. We want your truth to invade our lives right now. So come and speak to us, Lord, as we quiet ourselves before you, just like Jesus did. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.